About a 1 dB. Some we can't hear. We can only feel it. I'm not looking at the sound guy, are you? Are you the sound guy? Well, you are. How come you're not moving? I won't hear the sub move, will I? Actually, this is just a crock, because I can't. Nobody up here can tell what it sounds like out there. So just ignore what I said. On the other hand, if the low bottom sounds like it's too much to you, it probably is. There we go. We'll go with that one opinion there. Actually, I don't want to sound a little, what's the word, uxorious? Is that the word? That's where a guy says what a wonderful wife he has until you realize after he's been going on for half an hour that she's horrible. You know what I mean? No, I don't think so. I've already reached that point where I'm having a better time than the crowd is. It's supposed to happen much later in the set. I was just trying to point out that it's so much fun to play that you're glad to be anywhere. It doesn't have to be Rochester, but here we are, and a lot of things come back to me now that I'm here. This is so smooth. This is so smooth. What a professional I am. It's a good thing you didn't go see Tom Petty tonight. You really did miss it. But I played here at a place that was once called Jazzberry's. I went downstairs, there was a support act that night. I went downstairs into the dressing room and there was a kind of heap over in the corner. And I thought about it, I said, you must be the support act. And he said, the heap spoke. And he was really out of it. And he said, yeah, I am. I said, how are you doing? You doing all right? Yeah, I just got back from my vacation. And I asked him where he'd gone. And he said, Hanoi, which is, you know, the old name. But he'd been there on a vacation. And I said, a vacation? And I didn't know it was a hot spot. And he said, well, they have really awful hospitals there. And I said, well, how do you know that? And I said, I mean, he said, well, I have malaria. And then he looked up like this. And he said, it's like acid. It keeps coming back. So, by that time, I'd given up wondering why they had named the club Jazzberry's. And I was wondering why this guy even bothered to come out tonight. And so when he went up at showtime, I went up behind him to just see how it went for him. And he got on stage and he sat down and his head kind of fell like this. He hit his first note, which was something like, wait a minute, like that. And he frowned and he looked up. He said, I have malaria. He just worked them into a frenzy after that. Thank you. play, but because but it's less of a risk if I introduce it properly. And actually, I could be wrong about this. But I froze my feet when I was about, I don't know, it was a long time ago. I was a kid and I was driving out to with my girlfriend to see a stream and to see what it looked like in the dead of winter compared to what it had been in the summer and the spring when we were there. And, you know, obviously we weren't going there to look at the stream. And on the way there, drove out on the highway past this truck stop right here. And went way down here. There's a dirt road, and you take a left. The dirt road goes back like this. And right about there, and the stream is over there, and right about there, I realized that the road had been plowed so that, and the blade had been set too far over, and they had filled the ditch with snow. Because I realized that because I was now stuck in the ditch, and it happened overnight. With the flash, if I get it right here, I can't see these dots. I must see these dots. Without these, I'm helpless. I'm self-taught. We're stuck, and it was 28 below, and it was an 80, as I learned, an 80 below wind chill. And I thought, well, I'll freeze to death if I walk all the way back up here, and then all the way back up here to this to the truck stop. So I thought, I'll just jump over this fence and go right to it. I could hear them talking. I could see them. What's the problem? And that's how I froze my feet. I passed out twice on the way there. I lost my boots in the first couple of steps. There's only a couple steps behind me, which are this deep. But, well, there's your boots. I wasn't concerned. I mean, where else could they be? They aren't going to be over there. We can see where I was. I reached down in there, which began my hands getting kind of frozen. No boot. I couldn't find it. So I went through the field in my stocking feet. And eventually, I wound up in the hospital where I was told that they would remove my feet the next morning. And I said, okay. And I didn't care. I was more concerned because I couldn't breathe. I'd singed my lungs, and it was rough. This is what you get for being really stupid and just leaving your imagination way behind. And what had happened to my hands was they just were reduced to tingle. I didn't feel anything really in them for about 3 months. I got my feet back because somebody interfered, saw me on the surgery list, took a half hour at a time, subjected me to about a week of utter agony, and I got my feet back. But my hands didn't come back, and I would play, and it was like playing, you know, through a condom or something. It's just kind of like, this isn't right. And I realized how much the guitar meant to me. And I'd always known that I was always going to play, and I was always going to, I mean, it's just what I would do. Whatever my job would be, I had no idea. But I'd be playing, I'd love to do it. I never realized how much your hands have to do with it. I don't know why. So it was a turning point for me, and it's what I think about when I do this tune, which is a verse. It's an adaptation of a verse by Christina Rossetti. And it's probably a ripoff of a choral arrangement that Gustav Holst did for it, but I don't think so. I'd like to play it for you now. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. The earth has hard as ice, water turned to stone. Snow is fall, snow on snow. if it isn't, you know, this. Is what you do when you're all alone. It's what you do when you get tired of that. Once you get over thinking you're Alban Berg. You go back to Hap Smith and Frank Reynolds. Too big to put your eye on it. Bruise your cornea. I was, you know, singing one night somewhere. It's a long time ago. You know, you kind of get up on it sometimes. That's before you learn that you speak closer to the mic and you sing further from. And so I'd gotten up on it, and when I pulled back, it came with me. And a hair had insinuated itself. This wasn't the guy who had malaria or lamaria. I don't know whose hair it was, and I was really trying to think, you know. These mics, you know, I don't know about this. This has actually not been around that long, because I can tell from this blue line around here. I'm a professional model. But some of these things are 25, 30 years old, and they've been sneezed on, breathed on, abused by musicians. And now you're attached to one, and you're still singing, and you don't want to be. Nothing you can do about it. There are acts who carry around their own Lysol, and they just soak these things. If you happen to follow them, you'll die. You'd rather have the hair. See Britney Spears doing that. I can start over if I want to. Starting out, I had the good fortune to. Oh, this is gonna hurt. Sometimes I got to play with these people, but more often to just be in the same room with them or on the same stage. People like Fred McDowell and Son House. Muddy Waters, Sam Chapman. I mean, there's a long list of them. John Hurt. It was wonderful. They'd been resurrected from an old obscurity to appear in a basically new obscurity in a new present, and they did it just right. That's when I found out that you don't need fingernails to play the guitar, but it took me years to find out how they did that. I asked, and this was the other thing, is that you get to talk to them and get to find out how they do it. I asked John Jackson what he did, and at the time, he said, first of all, you need a good callus, and I said, but he was talking about on the right hand, and I was thinking about the one on my left hand. Now I know you need some here. And he said, well, there's a way to do that. And he said, don't wash your hands. I said, John, you back up a little bit trying to finish it. I don't know, it got just, because he was also, his day job at that time was grave digging, which had a new resonance to it. And I said, but how do you, and he said, well, I use alcohol. He said, I have this slush alcohol on them all the time. And so I tried that, I thought this will work. And it does, until all you have to do is just touch a doorknob and this callus that's got to be about that thick, it falls off. That's all it is. So I started looking at players like Buell Neidlinger, who started out playing with people like Thelonious Monk. This guy has had an amazing musical influence and career. And I asked him about calluses, and he showed me his, and they aren't there. It's almost like a normal finger. But he's playing an upright bass. He's grabbing stuff that I couldn't even dream of grabbing. And the callus is there forever. It's just... And now I have that kind of callus. You don't need to know any of this. I'm sure it's very fascinating. It just, this knocks me out. I've gotten dietary advice. A lot of dietary advice, actually. But the best from Sam Chapman, who was sitting outside a motel in Missouri in a chair out in the driveway. And I went up and I said, are you Sam Chapman? And he said, yes, I am. He had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid was sitting in the gravel by his chair. And I said, it's great to see you. And how do you do this? I'm tired and I'm just getting, I haven't been out for very long. You've been out for what, 60 years? He said, yeah. I said, how do you do this? He said, you have to eat right. I said, well, what's that? He said, I've lived for the last 20 years on peanut butter and jelly and Kool-Aid. And he lifted up this peanut butter and jelly sandwich he had, and he said, want a bite? There's a moral dilemma. I'm telling you, obviously it had been gummed quite a lot. This was a rough choice. Somebody like Sam Chapman offers you some food, you accept. I found a spot that I preferred. These guys are so good. I was sitting next to Fred McDowell once at a blues concert, which is usually given outdoors in the middle of the winter, when they bring in a bunch of blues acts, freeze them to death, keep the money, and send them home. In this case, everybody had figured that out, and there were about five people in the middle of a football field. We're at the 50-yard line, the stage is, and the crowd, there's about five of them, are out beyond the goalposts. So it's like mailing it in from where you are. And we're sitting there, and everybody was having a great time anyhow. And I was trying to pick Fred McDowell's brain. George Smith was on stage, this great harmonica player. And he was not feeling the crowd. More than 50 yards away, of course not. But he was going to solve the problem. So, and the stage was, it's outdoors. It was probably nearly this high. And he jumped off the stage with his harmonica on a long cable. And he was, I don't know, in his late 60s at the time. We both thought that would be the end of it when he jumped off, but it was fine, and he rushed the crowd. He ran out toward the goalpost as far as his horn would let him, and he's playing away, has a great time, the crowd goes wild. And he came running back to the stage. He was going to, and Fred and I looked at each other. Is he going to do what he looks like he's going to? Is he going to? And we started to smile, because we knew it wasn't going to work. And George ran up the stage, leaped in the air. Here's the stage. With his legs like, he's going to make it. And he, bam! That's it. His recovery was so dignified, it still gives me chills. I'm cool, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta do what you've got to do. I'd be in tune by now. The first time I heard this song, it was being sung by John Hurt. Oh, there we are. Different. He was in tune, actually. Corina, Corina, where you've been so long? Thank you. so long. Corina, Corina, where you've been so long? And I've been worried about you ever since you've been gone. Trying to put the entire guitar cable in my pants. Stand his guitar up on end once and let go, and it stayed there. There's more to musicianship than playing. Of course, his was flat across the bottom, unlike mine, and so he did have a slight advantage. It's See, now it migrated. You just have to make sure that what you think is pitch, in other words, the string that you pick, you better hope it's the one that's in tune, not out of tune. Start because they'll come and get you.
Thank you.
3 years making records and doing some touring with Mike Gordon on bass. First time I've ever gotten to do anything like that. And we wound up in the studio before we knew we were there. And this is a tune that we were working on one night in Costa Rica where we went to rehearse for the second record. It's really rough. And after we were done, we actually had to write it, but when we were done, we moved over to the Bahamas to record it. And this was the thing that I had laying around in some form or another for a long time, but I couldn't fill out the lyric. And one night in his house, which was all doors, there were no walls really. You could close these huge doors and have a sort of a house. Otherwise, it was a space with a roof on it and a kitchen in it. And huge place. Oh, and it's beautiful, you know, on the side of a mountain in a jungle, and you look down through the trees and out over the ocean, these huge islands. And, it's great. Didn't really get much done. But when we were working, one night we were working on something, and Mike suddenly stood up, made a noise, and his eyes bugged out, and I enjoyed that. I was watching this. Instead of looking where he was, I figured if there was a problem, he'd let me know. And it turned out to have been a raccoon, which is a, in Costa Rica, it's called a pisote, and it has a snout, whatever, you know, I don't know. It makes some use of the snout, and I'll tell you what I think it's there for. Because the thing finally left, and Mike said, oh, it wasn't the lyrics. He thought the raccoon had swiped our lyric sheets. And what it was the raccoon had come in behind this couch I was sitting on, walked into the house, over to the kitchen, way over there, opened the refrigerator door, took out a block of cheese, and left the same way it came in. All the way back from the kitchen and out behind it. The raccoon knew whose house this was, and knew right where the cheese was. Which is what I think the snout was for. It was to pry open the refrigerator. However it did it, I didn't see it. But I got up at that point and we went looking for the raccoon. It had just moved over by the swimming pool where it could relax. And it just looked at us like, what do you want? So it makes an appearance here at this time. Involves a substance called Raisin Jack, which was the first alcohol I ever drank. It was alcohol I'd made myself. That's how poor I was when I was a child. I had to make my own intoxicants. And as it does here in the song, mine blew up. It blew up in my dad's garage. There's enough left in the heel of one of the mason jars to get a taste of something really dreadful. If you want to make some, if you want to blow up your dad's garage, all you need is raisins, potato peelings, and water. Put it in a jar, make sure it's real tight so it becomes a grenade. Just set it somewhere. Don't quote me on this, by the way. Thing you do when you're in the seventh grade in Oklahoma. When your brother and his raisin jack blow up in the yard and the elephants refuse to honk just to break your heart. Thank you. tell you you're not the same. Grapefruit skies allow tears of gold for any happiness. You must yell out loud. Signature and the vocal in another. The guitar is in 5/4 and the vocals in 4/4. Mike dreamed this song. He dreamed it two different time signatures at the same time and remembered all of it and then told me to play it. When the con. Collins missile came, I opened up the box, followed the instruction, and took it to a field. I aimed it at your house because of all the things you said, like the time you said I'd never change. Made my face turn red, but the Collins missile broke before I got to stop using it. And the dials wouldn't turn. Seemed like the future that made me want to choose it. The ball's back in your court, though I tried to take a turn. I was glad it didn't work, so I left it in the field. was shocked without me even there. 2 days later, off the Collins flew, but the Collins they still were. Before I got to stop it, I couldn't find the fuse and the dials wouldn't turn. Seemed to lack the features that made me want to choose it. Balls back in your court, though I tried to take a turn. Think I'm prone. Progression. But the Collins whistle worked. Collins whistle worked. Before I got to stop it, I couldn't find the fuse. And the dials wouldn't turn. Seemed to lack the feature that made me want to choose it. The ball's back in your court. Though I tried to take a turn. Take a turn. But the Collins missile worked. Before I got to stop it, I couldn't find the fuse and the dial wouldn't turn. Seemed to lack the features that made me want to choose it. The ball's back in your court, though I tried to take a turn. Take a turn. Get your brain to split to keep these two, because they don't really meet, these two time signatures. Once it splits, it's great. It just feels so good. Goodbye, brain. Thank you. close with a tune tonight. I think I'm done with it. But sometime, actually more and more, excuse me while I go through my tits. I don't know. I've been standing up lately because, look, you know, the guitar, your hand falls right about here. Everything, your shoulders, it's just great for your guitar, but you don't know what to do with the rest of yourself. You're really aware of it all. Just kind of lurking there, waiting to trip you up. Oh, I must plug it in. Radical. But something. In the last few years, the stuff that I come up with leaves me with a little kind of tug of war, because my head will get it where it wants it, but my hands will have another idea. At first I thought it was just that, you know, it's hard to learn it, because they're getting harder to play, though, because you get more curious and you're not trying to write finger busters, you just want to do things that you wouldn't have tried before because they look too hard to figure out. So you get it figured out, I just thought, you know, my hands would, you know, they just didn't want to learn it. But that's not it. Because it really isn't that hard to play. It's just unfamiliar to, you know, some of them. And so what I've discovered is that the hands have their own idea of what you should be doing at any given moment. And if they've been sort of trained over time to behave in a certain way on other stuff, they're really going to get you on something new, because they'll... So I thought, if that's how it is, you bastards, that I would let them have their way. And I started playing this tune before I was really done with it, for crowds, just to see, you know, I'd wait until we were in trouble. And I'd just more or less say, okay, it's up to you. You wanted it. There. Be careful what you wish for. And they'll do something. And sure enough, a couple of those things made sense to me. It wasn't that the crowd thought it made much sense, because it was just clear that there was trouble going on between me and my body while I was playing. So it's happening now less and less on this tune. It could happen again. But just don't blame me. Blame me. I think this is called Ants. I've had a hard time coming up with a name for this. It started as Ants and then back there. Oop, wrong again. That was me. That was there, all right. I don't want to antagonize them. You know. Take responsibility when it belongs to me. You know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tommy and Mario. You know they make good conversation, still it ain't no consolation. Cause I got love, baby, I'll give you some. And if somebody comes, let the doorbell ring. Let the wedding bells ring.